affectionately greet you. Do we have a Bhagavatam verse for today, or should I pick one?
We have something on the board. But if you
what is the verse, please? From where is it? Oh yeah, it's the Sangsa Guya prayers. They are usually very philosophical and deep. Good. I will continue with the next verse from there. It's 34. Yeah. Om Namo Bhagavate Before I start, I always feel when we chant this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, we are just have a great chance to just tell ourselves, okay, now it is time where we hear about Krishna and where we glorify him. Now it's Bhagavatam time. And this simple meditation, you could say, or affirmation, if you wish to use a modern word, can collect our various thoughts, which are engaged with so many things, with your WhatsApp messages, with your list of things to do, with your grumpy morning blues, you know, whatever it is. It just draws the mind from wherever it dwells and brings it into the Bhagavatam time. So therefore, I like to consciously chant this mantra, and please join me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ya prakrite gyanapate jananam. Ya prakrite gyanapate jananam. Yata shayandeha gada vibhati. Shayandeha gato vibhati. Yata nila prati visham. Yata nila prativam ashrito gunan. Yata nila prativam ashrito gunan. Sa Ishvaro me gurutam manoratam. Ya prakrite jnana pate jananam. Yata shayam deha gato vibhati. Yata nila prapati vamashito gunam. Sa Ishvaro me kurutam manoratam. Yes, please. Yes, maybe. Yes, Mataji, please. Open Mataji, please. So much, Yaha Hu Prakritai Lower Grade Jnanapatai by the paths of worship Jnanam of all living entities Yatashayam according to the desire. Deha gataha, situated within the core of the heart. Vibhati, manifests. Yata, just as. Anilaha, the air. Pativam, earthly. Ashitaha, receiving. Gunam, the quality, like flavor and color and so on. Saha, he, Ishvaraha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Me, my, Gurutam, may he fulfill. Manoratam, desire for devotional service. Translation. As the air carries various characteristics of the physical elements, like the aroma of a flower or colors resulting from a mixture of dust in the air, the Lord appears through lower systems of worship according to one's desires, although he appears as the demigods and not in his original form. What is the use of these other forms? May the original Supreme Personality of Godhead please fulfill my desires. Let us look for a simple, you know, essence of this verse. It says the Lord appears in whatever way you worship him, but he may not appear in his original form as Krishna. He may appear as devatas. And the example which is given, when you have air, it adopts the various qualities of which are there. For birthday, someone gave me a little bottle of sandalwood, and I found out that sandalwood oil, and that oil is worth 100 euros, no? So when you put that into the air, you just sprinkle a little, then that air carries the sandalwood fragrance. The same air may go out of the window and pick up the earthly fragrance of the earth, the bare earth, and then have that. So just like that, Krishna picks up various forms in according to the way he is worshipped. And here in these prayers, the very ancient prayers, the prayer is, why do I go to these other forms of the Lord, which are only coming from Him? I will go to Krishna directly, and may that supreme original personality of Godhead please fulfill my desires. Purport. The impersonalists imagine the various demigods to be forms of the Lord. For example, the Mayavadis. They worship five demigods, Panchopasana. They do not actually believe in the form of the Lord. But for the sake of worship, they imagine some form to be God. Generally, they imagine a form of Vishnu, a form of Shiva, and forms of Ganesha, the sun god Surya, and Durga. This is called the Panchopasana system of worship. Daksha, however, want to worship not an imaginary form, but the supreme form of Lord Krishna. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the difference between the supreme personality of Godhead and an ordinary living being. As pointed out in a previous verse, Sarvam Pumang Veda Gunangsya Tachyano Na Veda Sarvagyam Anantam Ide. The omnipotent Supreme Lord knows everything, but the living being does not actually know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I know everything, but no one knows me. This is the difference between the Supreme Lord and an ordinary living being. In a prayer in Srimad Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti says, my dear Lord, you exist inside and outside, yet no one can see you. We will go for one more paragraph. It's a rather long purport. The conditioned soul cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by speculative knowledge or by imagination. One must therefore know the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He reveals himself, but he cannot be understood by speculation. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Atapi deva padam buja dvaja prasada lesha nugrihi ta evahi janati tatvang bhagavan mahimno na chanya eko pichiram vichinvan. My Lord, only one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet. He can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. Namo Om, please join me. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pachanine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Govakraminda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna. I would like to express in the beginning of my little lecture that this verse speaks to me because it speaks to a very real situation in my life. Now I have to make a decision right now. I mean, not this moment, but within the next days, which is very crucial for my own spiritual life. And I must know, I want to do what is Krishna's plan, but I do not know Krishna's plan at the moment. I just do not know. As far as I can see, two ways I can go. One way is Krishna's plan, and the other is my plan or other people's plan. And they both look very, very attractive or possible. But I will not act before I know what is Krishna's plan. Now, here in this purport, it says, because the Lord is, you know, he may appear as demigods and offer you one thing, but that's not according to his desire. That is according to your desires. But he can also appear as the original Supreme Personality of Godhead and fulfill your Manoratam. Prabhupada translates this, your desires for devotional service. So you have to know what is what. And here it is not so easy to make a decision for me. And in the past I used to approach such subject by using my own intelligence. I used to think, well, let us see what are the pros and the cons of these two roads to go, and I would come to a decision. But this time, as I become older in my life, I want to really know what does Krishna think. And I know he will test me first. He will find out, am I really serious to know what he thinks or what he wishes. And Prabhupada says it's not by speculation where we can understand Krishna's plan, but Krishna will reveal his plan in due course of time. Sometimes we as devotees are so insistent to go in one particular road, in one particular way, but it may not be Krishna's way. It may only be my way. And we go and we overcome the obstacles. We think, well, we are on the right way, but we are on our way, not on Krishna's way. So we need to pray earnestly and wait until Krishna reveals himself. And when that comes, you always know, yes, this is the right thing. Whatever the consequences are, this is also planned by Krishna. I will take this particular way which Krishna has shown me. How does Krishna show a devotee what he should do? Well, it can happen when he reads the shastras that something somehow comes together like in a kaleidoscope where the different glass pieces come together and form a beautiful pattern. So in the same way, the shastra he might find. Or when he talks to devotees, boom, one piece comes, another piece comes, and yet another piece comes. And again, a wonderful pattern comes together. Or he may go to a holy place, and that is a traditional way to get answers, and pray at various altars, and also then a very clear picture comes together. The main thing here is be sure that you go Krishna's way and not your way. But no, even if you want to go your way, Krishna will help you by appearing as his representatives, not directly, and facilitates your desires to go your way. He's a very kind Lord. He said, yes, yes, let my devotee, if he wants. Why not? Hare Krishna. But sometimes in life you come to a situation where you think, my way is not the way for me any longer. I want to go Krishna's way. This is better, to go Krishna's way. See, Krishna is very, very amazing. He appears in many ways, and so do his Shaktis. His Shri's Shaktis, as they appear in various ways. According to the way a devotee worships him, Krishna appears to him. Yeya tamang papadyante. He is a very, very, very wonderful. And therefore, a devotee says, I only wish Krishna. There's a wonderful pastime of Krishna, which I would like to tell you, where this becomes a very, very, a little bit clear what I mean. Since it's such a subtle point, we need to understand it more deeply. As we know, we become Krishna conscious in this world when we hear about Krishna. And the more we hear about Krishna, the more we become attached to Krishna. And the more we become attached to Krishna, the more we become detached from the material world. No? This is our experience, and therefore we always recommend devotees who want to go for the next step in their spiritual life. It's always recommended, hear a lot about Krishna. So one of these examples from Krishna's pastime is Princess Rukmini. She was a very small little girl when she noted that from time to time a great saint would come into the court of her father, Bhishmaka. And when she was still very young, like 10 years old, she left her toys and she came whenever this saint came and listened to what he said. The saint was no one else than Narada Muni, no? who gives Krishna to the conditioned souls. And he would come to Bhishmaka's court and he would talk about Krishna, just so beautifully. Now, slowly, the little girl Rukmini, who was always, the English word is eavesdropping, you know. Eavesdropping, I think you can guess from the sound of the word what that is. She was just wanting to hear. She became of age, her body matured, and she became extremely beautiful and attractive. Extremely. I mean, not a little bit, but extremely attractive. And kings began to think, oh, it would be good to marry this girl if she is fully grown up. She will be very beautiful. And her brother, who was making political strategies, thought it would be nice to make a marriage with a neighboring kingdom, so then our kingdoms are together and our power increases. This is often found in the old in the old times, they are called political marriages. No? Maybe we have them in ISKCON also. It would be so nice if this family and that family let us marry our children to each other. And I think it is still, this idea is going on. No? So anyways, political marriages don't really consider the desire of the bridegroom. Shishupal wanted to marry Rukmini because of her unearthly beauty, but Rukmini, she had heard about Krishna, and she only wanted to marry Krishna. Do you know of another princess who felt the same? The woman saint Mirabai, no? She wanted to only marry Giridhari. She had once been as a little girl in the room of her palace, and there was a procession going on in the street downstairs, and the people were singing Giridhari Syama Vanavari, and she heard about Giridhari, what a name, and inquired, and it was Krishna, and she said to her mother, after she had inquired, I want to marry Giridhari. I want to marry Krishna. But her mother thought, yeah. Good plan. Wish you all luck. But then she was married to another man. He was a good man. He allowed his wife to be totally with the sadhus, listening about Giridhari, worshipping Giridhari. But he died, unfortunately, an early death, and she was married to a total atheist, and there was so much tension in the marriage. The same is here. So she wrote a letter, a love letter, I will go a little fast through this part of the her story, because you know, have heard it most probably, which was brought by a messenger to Krishna in Dwaraka. Krishna read the letter, and he knew this Rukmini was his eternal consort. She belonged to him only. And so he sent the messenger back to Rukmini's palace. And now the problem was, the next day, she sent the letter 1 day before her marriage. That was time-wise a little narrow, you know. But Krishna came in the night with the Brahmana and waited before the gates of Kundina. This happened in Kundina. Now, you must know, this is now a little complex. Here you need to really now focus. Totally new information will flood you in a second. You must know that when Krishna left the residence of Vrindavan, they did not just live with the fact that Krishna was no longer in Vrindavan. They couldn't live with this fact. And the only way they felt they could survive is to hear regularly about Krishna's activities. So I've told this already a few times. So they arranged a messenger service of always they came in pairs, two messengers. They took first-class horses. They had a few stations where they changed the horses, and they went to Dwaraka, listened to everything what was going on. They also followed Krishna's pastime, where Krishna was, and then they came back with news. So these two messengers are now there in Braj and told Nanda Maharaj, Nanda, your son has gone overnight to Kundina and he intends to kidnap Rukmini, who's really promised to Shishupal. It will require most probably military action. There are so many kings. And Nanda gets, and all the Brijbasis get totally worried. And they have one question. Did someone go along with Krishna to protect him? And the messenger said, no one went. Only Balaram went. But Balaram was angry at Krishna, because Balaram knew Krishna would kidnap a lady who was promised to someone else. And he said to Krishna, you are a thief. You were in Braj a thief, you stole butter, and you have not been able to conquer this bad habit of stealing. But anyways, I'm your brother, I love you, I come along and I will protect you. So when Nanda Maharaj heard that Balaram came, he was happy and he said something. He said, these other people did not follow Krishna to protect Krishna. They don't have a real love for Krishna. They don't have real prema. And they said, only prema that appears from birth is svabhava siddha. Svabhava siddha means it's according to your nature. It's natural. Prema, which arises later in life, incidentally, is always conditional. How can that artificial prema be compared with natural prema? This, for those of you who like these questions, how will we ever meet Krishna, gives a hint to you. See, we are trying to develop love for Krishna, but because it's not there with us really as a natural thing, we are cultivating it over the time. Our love is conditional. It is sometimes there. Sometimes we forget Krishna the whole day. I know each one of you, and I know you are perfect examples of this. And I am also, I'm just now becoming aware of it. It took me more than 50 years to think, my God, you are such a shadow of a devotee, Sachidananda Swami. So and therefore, that type of love will always be conditional. You see, Balaram didn't like that Krishna was going out to steal. Huh? He didn't like that. He thought, you should not steal. You are a king. You are now grown up. But he said, I don't, it doesn't. And his eyes, it's described, they were red. Balaram gets quite intense. However, his love was not conditional. He thought, even if my brother steals, I love him. You know, even if I don't agree with him, I love him. And I've told him, yes, we have a difference of opinions here, but he will anyways do what he wants, so I better be there and I take a small army with me, just in case, to protect him. So, what do we get from this? If our love is, here we hear from Nanda Baba, our love is conditional if it's not from birth. And I know we like to imagine, yes, I'm of course I'm a Siddha Bhakta. There is no question that I'm not a Siddha Bhakta. But that may be something where Jiva Goswami has something to say about this point. Anyways, let us not stay there. when we will develop that love of Krishna, we will first have to take birth, another birth. We will take a birth in a place where Krishna is, from the womb of a dear bhaktin, in this case, a gopi lady, elderly gopi lady, who's full of prema. And then we will immediately, from birth, we will, the fruits of our cultivation will be there, and we will be totally in love with Krishna. But don't worry. I mean, the love of Krishna which you can cultivate in this life is already better than everything than the world has to offer. It's not that the bhakti tradition says you have to wait until you for next birth, then you get the thing. No, you can get something. But the unconditional prema, we can see here, is in Balaram. So, from birth, no? Nanda Maharaj said, and then tell us, he said to the messengers, what else happened? And the messenger said, well, when he arrived and when Balaram arrived in Kundina and Krishna saw him, Krishna was embarrassed. Yes, I'm going to steal. And he looked at Balaram, and Balaram was red like the rising moon because of anger, and he didn't even speak to Krishna because he thought, you are like a thief. And he just indicated, I will stay here with my troops, you do your Krishna thing, I will protect you, I will be with you, but I don't agree with you. Meanwhile, Rukmini is there. It's already morning, the morning of her marriage, and she was thinking, the Brahmana has not come back. The Brahmana was already there in the evening, but he thought, when I tell this news in the evening that Krishna is there, it's not so auspicious, it's dark. I want to tell this news that Krishna is there in the morning, so he waited. And Rukmini couldn't stay awake all night. And she was thinking and felt devastated. She thought, my marriage to Krishna will not happen. But she hoped so strongly that she leaned out of the palace window and looked out on the road with a vacant mind. controlling herself, she actually wanted to keep her, naturally she would have kept her mouth open from tension, but she controlled herself because that's not cultured. So she closed her mouth with great effort, and she closed her tearful eyes. Now some time passed like this, where she was sitting there, Krishna, Krishna, why don't you come? Like this. She's only 16 years old. So then all of a sudden she felt her arm and foot began to tremble. Now she had no nervous, she had no vata problem, but it trembled. And she thought, that's auspicious. My God, why? Is something auspicious going to happen? And then she opened her eyes, and the moment she opened her eyes, she saw that Brahmana, her messenger to Krishna, and by the way he looked in his face, she could understand, Krishna's here. Do you sometimes also do this when you want to know something and someone comes and has the information? You look at them, and the way they are, you know, is it a good or is it a devastating information which they bring? So she saw the joy in the face of the Brahmana, And then her mind and eyes became also joyful and so on. And when the Brahmana came close, she was overwhelmed by the fragrance, the odor coming from the Brahmana. Now, normally she had no business to smell other men, you know. Only who does that, you know? But the fragrance was so overwhelming, and she understood this was the smell of Krishna. The Brahmana had been in the association of Krishna, and Krishna, as you know, has such attractive qualities, and one is he smells so good, you know. So, wow, she felt like shit. He has come from Krishna. So she became, she was very pale, but now she felt by the remembrance of Krishna, she lit up like the full moon, and all the thoughts of Shishupal, her arranged marriage, disappeared from her mind. So I just wanted to say this. This path of Rukmini is interesting because she developed her attachment to Krishna only by hearing about Krishna. She is the example that by hearing about Krishna, you become attached to Krishna, so that one day you don't want anything else or anyone else than Krishna. Isn't that wonderful? I think she became, just by hearing she would marry Krishna, she became like a moon that was lit up by the chakra of Krishna's presence. This is the formulation of Jiva Goswami. She was lit up. Krishna is very, very nice. So another point which we can learn here, I know I will soon go away from Krishna Katha and talk to others who like a different way of hearing things, different informations. So she goes in the morning. She has to go by tradition. A married woman before her marriage goes to Durga, the powerful goddess of the material energy, who then blesses the lady that her marriage will be good, you know, that there will be no disturbance from the material energy in her marriage. So she goes in the temple, and she's fully decorated. I think a few days ago we saw one lady who was getting married, and we didn't recognize her at all because she was looking totally different than we knew her. So Rukmini was also, I mean, she was really prepared by her maidservant. She looked, I mean, when she came from the temple, it is described that two groups of people saw her. One group, this was Shishupal and all the kings, saw her as the most desirable woman in the creation. And they were attracted in a physical way to her. And then there was another. There was Krishna and the few devotees who were there. There were two kings, devotees of Krishna, also there. They saw her as a goddess of fortune. She manifested two forms at that time. One for the materialists, who saw her according to her, to their consciousness. And she also stayed in her original form as Krishna's eternal wife, the goddess of fortune, the eternal goddess of fortune. You can't see a goddess with material consciousness, nor can you see Krishna with material consciousness. Ravana also, when he saw Sita, she saw her as the most desirable woman who would satisfy his various desires. And for him, a Maya Sita manifested. Because, as this verse informs us, the Lord and his consort appear to us according to our consciousness. That means if you want to see Radha Madan Mohan, yesterday I spoke to a devotee about Radha Madan Mohan, you will have to rise in your consciousness. Now you see them in one way, but when you finally see them, you will see them like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who fainted in ecstasy when he had certain deity darshans, no? In Alananad he was. Good. I want to end now this class. These are all very wonderful subjects. Some of us will feel, oh, I cannot yet relate to these subjects in the same way in which the older devotees like to relate to these subjects. That is natural. We are developing in our spiritual life. And also not everyone's taste has to be the taste of the other person. But, my dear devotees, I want to say something in passing. If you want to understand Krishna in the way that is meant for you, then you have to share bhakti with others. You are great devotees, each single one, even those who are with us for a few weeks or months. They have made the decision to serve Krishna, which makes them great personalities. Now, my dear devotees, you all have the treasure of bhakti. However, you will only be able to claim that treasure if you start to help others get bhakti. Your bhakti is now a hidden treasure. You don't yet maybe fully experience bhakti in its pristine form. You may see something according to your conditional life, like the kings saw. They had conditional love of Rukmini. They saw her in one way, but not in her actual way. So also we see in one way, but not maybe yet in the full way. So, but here's a simple way which Mahaprabhu teaches, that is, if you share Krishna consciousness, you will be purified in your heart in such a way that you can see in the full way. That you feel in the full way. Prabhupada talks about this point, that every one of us should see if they can give Krishna consciousness to others. So I'm taking this from the book I Built You a Temple, an excellent book, I highly recommend it. Prabhupada once said, "What I learn from Krishna, that is what I say. I don't say things independently. That is not my business. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. Amar agya guru hana tara e desh. You deliver..." Now listen to Prabhupada's translation. "You deliver your village people and become a guru." Mahaprabhu's idea, Prabhupada says here, start with those who are next to you. Try to give them Krishna consciousness. And then he continues, "Everyone is not going to be so big that he can go all over the world, but everyone can teach within his limit, within his family, within his community, within his village, within his town, within his district. As he is capable, he can increase. but everyone can become a guru and deliver the local people. How? Jadadeka tareka Krishna upadesh. Then you are guru. Means you give what Krishna says, no? As soon as you manufacture anything nonsense, then it is spoiled. And so on. And Prabhupada gets into what we should not do. He talks to a lady, her name is Lalita Bush, I think is her name. She was a close friend of Indira Gandhi and is the daughter of, oh my God, this very, I'm seeing it, of Subhas Chandra Bose's brother. Subhas Chandra is a freedom fighter in India, so she was a good person. So before meeting Prabhupada, Lalita had been a leading follower of Satyai Sai Baba, who had showed magic and been accepted by many people as God. In fact, I go today to a follower, a very prominent follower in Germany of Satyai Sai Baba. But after being enlightened by Prabhupada, she went to Sai Baba and said, "Why are you misleading people by producing and giving them some things? You are involving them more in materialism. Bhaktivedanta Swami is performing the real miracle, making pure devotees of Krishna." So at that time there was a book called Gurus, Godmen, and Good People, and Prabhupada's, there was an article about Prabhupada's preaching and making devotees, and there was also a picture of Prabhupada. And this picture showed Prabhupada in the Dallas Gurukul. He had a teacher stick in the hand. He didn't use the stick, but it just he a teacher pointing stick it was, no? So they have written about me, said Prabhupada to Lalita, and others as well. They've written about the others that when they were born, a light came and they did some miracle. For me, these things are not there. For me, there is a picture in Dallas. I'm taking one child's hand and I'm teaching how to write in Sanskrit. This is my miracle. Prabhupada always singled himself out as he wanted to be known as a servant of Krishna. We as his disciples did see him performing miracles, like I have one god brother who saw him walking on the ray of a sun. Others have said he was lifting tons at one time. There was the temple construction, there was breaking something down and threatening to fall on Prabhupada, the whole structure, and he just ran and went under it. And yes, these things are there, but Prabhupada never ever wanted to be known of this. And in fact, he forbade us to talk about it. I saw myself Prabhupada performing a miracle, but because I mean, I have talked it twice because I couldn't control my tongue. But here, where I'm aware that Prabhupada does simply not want that that people come because of these things to him, I will not say what I saw with my eyes. But this is not the point. Prabhupada wanted to know for me in this book, Gurus, Godmen, and so on, there is a picture taken in Dallas. I'm taking one child's hand, it's Dwarakadish, this famous picture, and I'm teaching how to write A means long A, the last A, in Sanskrit. This is my miracle. Prabhupada wanted to help people awake their original consciousness and become Krishna conscious. And he requests us, talk to your village people, your community, we have here a little village, and so on, and increase, and because by doing this, your own bhakti will increase. So Hare Krishna, I want to give a summary of this little spontaneous lecture. The verse said that Krishna can appear in many forms. Also, he can appear in his representatives, the devatas, to some who approach him with these desires. So Krishna appears to many people also as different, you know, in very different ways. But if you want the actual Krishna, the Krishna of Vrindavan, you need to develop your love for Krishna. Then only he will appear in his true form to you, and also and reveal himself, as Prabhupada says, and will also give answers to your important life questions, which may at the moment be unclear. Should I go this way or that way? This is a little bit what was in there. I wish you all the best. This is my last few hours with all of you. I was asked this morning, where do you want to sit? Do you want to sit in the normal seat? Or do you want to sit here in this? It's called an installation. And I said, this is here, Vrindavan, this is there. I certainly want to sit here. I thank you that you made arrangements to organize this wonderful festival. I'm already getting so much feedback. I have sent a few photos to my godbrothers of this, and they thought, wow, I like these. They say decorations, but they should say installations. It is not a decoration, it's an installation. But anyways, these are words, who cares? I have sent this to a world record holder also, this thing, because I think it's so nice and I'm waiting for how he likes it. So, yes. Krishna, thank you that you arranged such this wonderful festival. I wish you all the best, and I have very, very good news. Krishna is coming. I heard him yesterday in the forest. Oh my God, this Sachidananda, this is Sahajiya, I knew it. Hear me to the end. Krishna says, of the seasons, I am the flower-bearing spring. Yesterday I went and I heard the birds, and these were spring birds. I know I lived here for some time, and spring is soon coming. That means it will be brighter. That means it will be warmer. It means we will feel naturally inspired. We will be more healthy because we are more outside. So Krishna comes in this form as the spring very soon. Already his messengers, the birds, he's that's the way one meditates in the beginning of Krishna. He's the variety of the birds. they are talking about this. This is my good news. What I want to hint with this is, my dear devotees in this community, try to think somehow or other of Krishna. Somehow or other direct your thoughts to Krishna. This will give you the unity you so much aspire for. The unity which happened at the end of Narayani's most beautiful sketch, which was really art, and Elias, I think, was the computer wizard. How will we ever forget Damodar Priya floating from her Bhakti Shastri course towards the boat, and you know, and Gaurabhavani losing her most important mobile phone. And Gaurahari and Vaijayanti reading alone the Bhagavad Gita, and then turning to the whole community and understanding the need of, you know, also, and everyone understood this. A few devotees were not in the boat. I saw Vishwadeva on a mountain for a moment. But I think he gave his good wishes and his blessings. Good, so I'm ending here this class. Hare Krishna. Do you wish to ask any questions in parting? Yes, I see two, three. I saw first this direction, Banu Nandini. Yes, speak loud, please.
Thank you so much, Guru, for this really very inspiring and eye-opening class. And my question relates to how do we know what is Krishna's plan, what you said in the beginning of the class. And I remember how Srila Prabhupada was at the Jaladutta, or on the Jaladutta, and then he had a heart attack, and Krishna came to him and said, "You can now come with me to the spiritual world." And Srila Prabhupada said, "But I still have not fulfilled my spiritual master's order, so please let me stay." So in one way, me as a liar, as a somebody who's a super beginner, I would understand Krishna's plan to be, of course, he's appearing and he wants this, but at the same time, we also have a certain desire which is in Krishna consciousness, obviously. This can also be the Lord's plan, or he can help that we fulfill that.
Yeah.
So is this that when we are standing on a crossroad, that it is really the consciousness which determines?
Yes.
If we decide to be in service, then no matter which way we choose,
The verse here said that Krishna appears in various ways, just like the air will carry various fragrances. So Krishna will appear in various forms, you know, and it depends on your desire, really. So you need to be a little bit clear in Krishna consciousness about your desire, and you may have to distinguish between your deeper desires and your superficial desires. And then once you are clear with that, then you can approach Krishna by prayer and say, "Please make it clear to me." And the way I always go about in these decisions, I will, you know, I can't expect Krishna to appear in his original form and say, like in the case of Srila Prabhupada, you know, where Krishna appeared with his many incarnations and said, "Please come with me." But he listened to Prabhupada's desire, obviously, and fulfilled his desire. So we can't expect the Lord to appear like this, because we wouldn't even have the eyes to see him. But we can get signs. We can talk with various devotees. Krishna reveals himself very often in this way. We can since this may be of interest for devotees, life, we all know, depends on our decisions which we make. And Krishna seems to, when we are strong in one desire, Krishna seems to facilitate it. I was speaking with Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj about this, who left his university, but then he thought Prabhupada had told that we should preach to the intelligent people and also the bring Krishna consciousness into the academic world. And he felt, this is my calling. And so he desired very strongly to enter this, but he was his train had left already, so to say. He was older now. But Krishna fulfilled it, and he became a doctor. He's now in some academic circles, there's a huge field, academia, but in the India-related subjects, he mixes with John Stratton Hawley, the big guys, you know. He organizes conferences. On the Bhagavatam, they did a big conference, and a lot of well-known scholars came, and they know about Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj. He has published many books for devotees, but also a few for academic the academic standard. He always publishes articles and so on. And Krishna fulfilled this desire for him to serve Prabhupada in this way. So yes, Krishna listens to our desires. And it's clear for us to be, it is necessary to be clear. And then Krishna will fulfill accordingly, or will give signs accordingly. And it's a process. It's a process. Now don't know which of the two options I should take. So I will wait. I will not, and I will inquire. I will speak with my God brothers. I will read, I will pray, I will open my consciousness for all these subtle hints, and then I hope I will understand them when they come. Normally one does. It becomes clear and you can run with this decision. Good. Fine. I saw another person. Was it Vajajanti? Good. And then I saw someone here, Gogovinda. Oh, Vajajanti, Gogovinda was first. Sorry. Hare Krishna.
On the point that we need to, in order to access our own bhakti, it's required that we share it, that we help others get it. Mm-hmm. How far should we go in terms of sharing our own inspirations? Because that might be sometimes intimate, and it might be even offensive towards our relationship with Krishna. I'm also reminded of the last verses in Bhagavad Gita where it said that this knowledge should not be shared with others. So there is something to find.
Yeah, you need to find a middle way. Obviously, yes, these confidential things, which are very dear also to your heart, they disappear from your heart when you talk about it. Maybe you have seen in the Belkane, everyone talks about everyone, and sometimes in ways which are not respectful towards the person. And when they do this, something breaks inside. I have spoken with many devotees, because this was said to you. Now you should not talk about it to the whole world. And if you do, it's not good. Your integrity breaks. So in the same way, in relationship with Krishna, you may have received something which is very confidential, private, and personal. And if you share it with others, it's not meant, nor is there any real benefit. The only benefit is an imagined benefit, that you think, oh, I'm telling them this now, then they will hopefully think I'm advanced. And your ego feels, but that is not a real benefit in spiritual life when the ego gets nourished. at the same time, it is very good to share a little, to be personal, because that's a rule in preaching. What's in your heart, what you have realized, that goes into the heart of others. That's a rule. If you talk theoretically, beyond your level maybe, or you people may not understand how it relates to life. I'm reminded of yesterday's morning lecture, when the lecturer talked very much about realizations, insights, personal realization. The whole audience took it all very much to, was really thinking about it. No, that may not be necessary to do in every, in lectures. Prabhupada would also give personal anecdotes from his life, what he saw.
What would be the compass?
The compass. Well, these things you need to find out yourself. Where is the exact border? Gogavinda, you will know. You will know. When you go over the border, you will know. Oops. Ugh. There's too much I in what I say. You will know if you are sincere and you swear to life. You will know. You will feel a little. You will know. Hare Krishna. So last question is from Vaijajanti. Hare Krishna. Yeah, since you asked me, a person who's well-rounded in life usually is able to hold things more easy. Therefore, I could see a little bit as a preacher. It started like 15 years ago or 20 years ago, that many of our followers are uprooted from life, and also they are not, their roots are not really there. You can see this by various psychological indications and a lot of unwell-being, physical and emotional unwell-being. You can see that there. Now you have to be really careful with this assessment. The spiritual path is a path where you put priorities over worldly priorities. For instance, when we discussed about this, should we do this festival? It was a little risky that, again, there might be infections and there might be criticism from the health people and from our own devotees. They might become wild with criticism and so on. And also, it's not good to have a birthday and then people get... But I thought there's something more important even than health. It's Krishna. And we know Krishna is coming. And the risk was, what you catch nowadays is very mild. Like, it's not the heavy ones where you go into the hospital and almost die. This is not the time as far as one can understand. So there is something more important than other things. then public opinion, then, and then there's Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna is most important. So the material minded person will not be able to understand it and strongly disagree. Strongly, in the strongest possible terms. I know. And I am not, we should not criticize them. They can't see the subtle point of Krishna. It is, why should they be criticized? It is, we also can hardly see it, you know. It's so spiritual that there's something more important, most important over anything. I see this with the many pilgrims. They go on pilgrimage, and it is likely that they will get sick on pilgrimage. A mosquito, it will bite them on pilgrimage, usually. You know, they feel cold, and it will be uncomfortable at times. But there is something more important which can be gained for the pilgrim. Sorry, it's no longer your, it's your. So, yes, you can, devotee, let us not forget this point. Yes, there may be devotees who are ill, who are a little vata in their mind, and who do not take enough care of their body and health. And we should not criticize it at all, because they have set a priority in their life for which they are admirable. Admirable. They deserve our admiration. But in the interest of every of us as an individual, and I can only say, my dear devotees, unless you are already jatarati, they say, that is, the taste in Krishna is overwhelmingly strong and is pervading your whole thought like a wonderful illuminating golden light. No, unless you are on that level, you most probably need to take a little physical health. Therefore, Prabhupada in a letter set very unusual priorities. Normally we know him, Krishna, 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 first priority. But in that letter he said, your health comes first, then comes your sadhana, and then comes your seva. Because he understood, as new devotees or beginning devotees, when our health is absolutely ruined, then our consciousness will suffer, and we should be we should see. So minimum health care is required. Like I personally knew, I can't go on much longer if I don't get all these toxins out of the body. There was lead in the body, the blood test showed, Bleivergiftung and all this. I needed to do something, otherwise I could forget about my consciousness and so on. So balance, balance, balance. And that's the most difficult point in life, I know. But it is necessary. My dear devotees, it is a little late now. We should say goodbye to all of you. I will not be able to see many devotees now because I have not yet packed, and we need to do that, and it's the most boring activity in life to pack. All the best. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol.